Well, joining us today, as I said, is my guest, Sherry Rickard-Ballou. She's the founder and owner of Mad Moon Creations. It's a gift company that creates one-of-a-kind tribute books for special occasions. These books are filled with stories and photographs about the recipient collected from close family and friends. She's also the author of Simply Celebrate, 101 Ways to Turn Ordinary Days into an Extraordinary Life. Good morning, Sherry. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Dr. Sheila. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm so happy to be here on your anniversary. It feels like such an honor.
Well, thank you very much. And I think it's so appropriate that we're talking about gift giving on an occasion like this. Of course, our topic will be more addressing Hanukkah and Christmas, but I'll be curious later on if Jay opens his gift and we get his reaction for your input, whether I nailed it or if I could have done better.
Much pressure for him, is it?
No, not at all. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to hold you to it. The reason I wanted to have you on the show is because now that the Thanksgiving holiday is behind us and everybody's turning their attention to the holidays, we all know that the day after Thanksgiving is supposedly the biggest shopping day of the year. It's when people start their holiday shopping. Is that a good time to start holiday shopping, or do you have a better suggestion?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I sort of lean toward the idea that what's good is whatever works for each individual person. I know some people who actually throughout the year will see something that's perfect for someone and they'll purchase it and hide it away and keep it, you know, until Christmas or Hanukkah. And I know other people who wait until, you know, 2 days before the occasion and will run out and they'll find the perfect gift that time. And then you're right. I think most people probably lean toward shopping, you know, starting right after Thanksgiving up through the holidays. But I think, you know, what's really important is that people just find the time that works for them.
Excuse me, absolutely. And, you know, there's so much stress with holiday shopping, too, that I find that if I do, as you suggest initially, to sort of as the year goes along and I see something that I think would be a nice gift for someone to pick it up, it does alleviate some of the stress of this last-minute shopping and the pressure. Did I get enough gifts? Did I get it for everybody that I needed to?
I totally agree with you. And I think that's one of the things I feel so strongly about, that, you know, I know that there does happen to be a focus on gifts this time of year, but we all know that that's actually not where the real focus is. I think what people are really looking for is to connect to one another.
Absolutely.
And so I think if we're stressed about, you know, what gift am I going to buy and I have to get all these gifts, then it's going to be really hard to actually be present to all the people that we love, that we, you know, are wanting to connect with this time of year.
That's true. Actually, as you were speaking, I was thinking about a friend of mine who does most of his Christmas shopping in January because of all the sales. So, you know, everything is half price on January 2nd. So he does a lot of his shopping for next year's Christmas then, and I think that's pretty creative and cost-effective.
I love that. That is such a great idea.
Take advantage, especially in these economic times, take advantage of the sales.
Absolutely.
Now, I know from personal experience, I was in Manhattan on the Friday after Thanksgiving, and if I wasn't holding my mother's hand, who was holding her grandchildren's hand, who was holding my sister's hand, we would have lost each other in the crowds because we were right there in Times Square near Macy's, and it was just packed.
Wow.
And I'm just wondering, you know, where do people shop to find gifts? Is it all about the mall? Is it all about running to Macy's in the middle of Manhattan? What's the best place where people can do their shopping?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I'm going to probably give about the same answer because it feels really important to me, again, that people do their shopping the way that they like to do their life. So it's like some people travel around the world. They love to buy exotic gifts. Other people love to be at home and create their own gifts. People love boutiques. Some people love malls. Some people like to sit at the computer and surf around for the right gift. You know, people create their own gifts. I think, you know, gift giving is much more of an art than a science. And I think it's an art that every person has their own style. And I always encourage people to really look at what is enjoyable for you. Because the gift giving is not just about the recipient. It's also, what is the experience for you as you're either creating the gift or buying the gift? Where do you like to be? Do you like to be, you know, some people love the crowds. And other people really don't like the crowds.
Absolutely. And with the advent of all the internet shopping, I know a lot of people who just shop online and just adore it. To them, it's the best shopping because they can go between websites and compare prices and compare styles and different. And on the internet also, you see so many different types of gifts that you might not see if you were just walking into a mall or a boutique store.
I think that's so true. And the other thing that I think is really important, more so than where you're shopping, is the time that people spend, you know, if people can set aside some quiet time to actually really sit down and put themselves in the shoes of the other person that they want to send the gift to or give a gift to, and really think about, you know, what is this person like? What does this person need? What would really surprise them? What would delight them? And from there, ideas might emerge, and I think from those ideas, then it's obvious where to get that particular gift or where how to make it.
And I love that point of view. Put yourself in the other person's shoes, because so often we buy gifts for people that we would like. You know, if my favorite color is red and I see this beautiful red sweater and I say, oh, that's such a beautiful red sweater, and then I buy it for someone who doesn't particularly like the color red or enjoy wearing the color red, it's really more that I bought a gift that I like rather than thinking, well, this person, you know, has beautiful blue eyes. I should buy her a blue sweater.
Yeah, yes. I think, you know, we all, that's just, I think, how we are, right? We all sort of gravitate toward what we like. And that's why I always feel like that is the number one first thing to do is really sit down and, you know, think about where does this person go? What do they do? What do they usually wear? What do they, you know, did you hear them drop a clue somewhere, you know, when you were out about something they liked? And it takes a few minutes, and it takes some quiet time to be able to do that, to really immerse yourself in thinking about the other person. But I think that's one of the most important things about gift giving.
I agree. And one of the ways that I drop clues, and I don't know if you will approve of this or not, is I actually will write an email to my family and say, my birthday's in November. And I'll say, well, it's the beginning of November, and I know that you're pulling your hair out right now trying to decide what to get me. And so what I really would like this year is, and I already did that for my mom for my next year's birthday. I said, by the way, in case you're thinking about what you want to give me for my birthday next year, I could really use a new leather jacket. And, Mom, if you're listening, that's another hint.
I love that. You know, I bet your friends and family are just, you know, thrilled. Well, because it's wonderful to buy someone something that they like.
And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But it's fun for me to say, I'm gonna solve all your problems. This is the perfect present for me.
I hope that if they don't get it for you, that you do buy it for yourself so that you still get that wonderful gift.
I always do, Sherry. I'm not deprived, that's for sure.
Oh, that's great.
Now, here's a question for you, and I hope you can answer. I know some people, and I'm sure all my listeners do, the person who we perceive to have everything. This is the person that just, they have all the latest gadgets. They have all the latest DVDs. What do you do? How do you buy for that person who has absolutely everything?
You know, that is my all-time favorite question. And the reason that I love it is because I feel like for the person who, you know, has everything, we have the biggest opportunity to come up with the most creative or the most personal gift that we can give them. Because even for the person who has everything, what that person still wants and needs is to be seen, to be loved, to feel connection, to feel like they are part of a family or a group of friends. And so one of the things I always tell people in that circumstance is, you know, this is your best opportunity to really wow them with your creativity. And it's actually one of the places from which my company, Mad Moon Creations, sprung, which is these one-of-a-kind books. They're filled with stories from someone's closest friends and family. Because one of the things that I've learned over the years is that everyone loves that personal gift. They love to feel like they're seen.
Oh, you know, I do, and I looked at your website, and some of your examples are fabulous. The idea that they're actually really books, and these are pictures of Grandma and Grandpa and all the kids, and it's something that can sit on the coffee table that people can look at for years and years. It's a wonderful creative gift.
I love making them, and people, you know, it's one of the things that people always say, you know, if there were fire in my house, this is the one thing I would grab. It means the most to me. And so that's, you know, one idea is something along those lines, and something that people can do by themselves that doesn't even take someone like me who has a business creating these, is a list of 100 things that you love about someone. And this is something that it takes time, but it is so much fun to do. And I have seen, it's one of my favorite gifts to give people, and I've seen that it's like something that people can pull out over and over again and reread.
You know, it's funny that you should mention that as you're saying that. When my mother turned 75, and you didn't hear that from me, my sister and I and her children made a list of 75 things we love about Grandma Charlotte.
You did?
Yes, we did. And then a friend of mine is in the printing business, so he printed it up on a beautiful poster board with gorgeous calligraphy. And we gave it to her as her birthday present. She now has it framed and hanging in her bedroom. So, because we couldn't figure out, what do you get, you know, a woman who has everything. So that's what we did.
And didn't she just love it more than anything?
She loved it. And some of the things on there were wonderful. Like, my mother makes matzo balls like nobody else on the planet. And that was one of the things on the list. And she knits unbelievably. And so these were the kinds of things that we put on there. And I know that she appreciated it. And it was really fun for us to create it.
I was going to say that one of the things I love about having people do a gift like that is that in doing it, it's impossible not to just feel incredible and just to feel this outpouring of love. And really, also, to really remember. I mean, I've made my own mother those kinds of lists on different occasions, and it's always so amazing just to remember those special things.
Yeah, and it was fun coming up with the list. We were circulating it via email, and everybody was adding something, and it was really fun to see what piece each person felt, you know, grateful about and what they remembered and what they thought was special about her.
Yeah, I love that. So that, you know, doing something like that is something that anybody could do. Some of the other things that I suggest for, you know, that person who has everything is thinking experiential rather than material. So, for instance, if someone loves music, you know, can you get them tickets to the symphony or a rock concert? Can you get them lessons at the local music school? Think of a gift that you could do together. So for that person that loves music, you could, you know, take them to a music store and listen to different music and then just buy them a couple CDs.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea. Jay, what do you think of all of this?
Always the music thing, because I used to get free CDs back in the day.
Okay, but, we'll talk about re-gifting in a moment.
But no, I would. I was always very special about knowing certain songs certain people would like, or I would make very custom, you know, the old mixtape and
old
CD thing. But I was thinking maybe we'll open this on the air like a little bit later on, you know, involve the audience. I was going to be kind of selfish and, you know, come back, but I'm like, you know, we should at least rip the thing open on the.
Should we start the next segment
in front of the
with
microphone?
That?
Yeah, maybe do that. But this reminded me when you talked about the thing you did for Nana, the 75. You know, kick-ass things about Grandma.
Yeah.
Grandma Charlotte there.
Grandma Charlotte.
I remember one year, it was a year or two after my sister and mom had actually moved to Kansas City, and I was, you know, still here in California. And I got a box that was about this size, you know, in a box of Christmas goodies. And, you know, it was a little note saying, you know, hey, this has been a really, you know, a difficult year, you know, blah, 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 but this box is full of love.
Oh,
from us.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. I'm like, oh, I got to share this, but if I can get through it without the waterworks, and I still have it. And a couple of years ago, I was going through, and I go, oh, it's that box.
It's the box,
you know,
of love. Oh, my God.
A little box of love. It's wrapped like this. It's just a box, empty, but it's filled with love.
It's filled with love.
So that's priceless. And, you know, in these type of times, obviously those were type of times back then, and those times have come up
again.
Box of love is still full.
And I can see you're getting a little teary, and I'm getting teary, too.
So,
how are you doing, Sherry? You need a tissue?
Oh,
that
is so beautiful.
Oh, my goodness. That is a beautiful story, and what a creative gift. And I hope that my listeners will steal it from you and share that gift with their loved ones, because it's beautiful.
And I think the thing is it really illustrates what is really important. You know, Jay got it immediately. You know, he got that huge gift. And it's because the people who loved him were really just making that clear.
Absolutely. What a beautiful, beautiful gesture. One of the ideas also was we were talking about, he was saying that his mother and sister gave him that gift. I was saying that my sister and I and her family gave my mother a gift. What are your thoughts on these quote-unquote group gifts where everybody sort of chips in or participates?
I happen to love group gifts. And there's a couple of reasons why. I mean, one of the things that I love is especially, you know, so many people right now, or at least a lot of people I know, are dealing with issues of, you know, having so much clutter, having too many things, or just having a lot of things. And I think one of the greatest things about a group gift is people can really give something meaningful and substantial that someone might keep around for a long time. And I think that's one thing that could be really important. The other thing is right now, a lot of people may not be able to afford certain things. For instance, maybe someone's DVD player broke, and people want to chip in and get them that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want to get them something to help in the kitchen or whatever. And I think a group of people going in together can get something that is going to stick around. I think that's the important thing.
That's true. So even if you have limited funds, I know right now people are either on budgets or suffering economically, that if you chip in and if everybody puts in $10 and you have five people, you have now $50 to buy a nice gift for someone.
Exactly. Exactly.
What else can people do if they are on a budget or suffering from some kind of economic shortfall this season so that they can give without feeling bad or damaging their credit accounts?
I really think that some of the very best gifts in the world come from that place, again, for me, I know when I was growing up, I didn't have a lot of money, and I think it's actually where the roots of my Mad Moon Creations business came from, which is that I spent a lot of time making people photo gifts or photo books, or one of my very favorite things still to this day that I used to do when I was younger is creating a homemade gift certificate. And
cool.
It could be, it could be an offer, it could be babysitting someone's kids, it could be taking over the carpool for a week, it could be shoveling their drive, it could be taking them shopping, it could be, you know, fixing their computer. You know, people can be really creative with this, and what it could be is anything that you can offer them that's your time. But it doesn't have to, it doesn't have to cost anything. But the person on the other end, some of these things are just priceless.
Absolutely. I'm thinking about the offer to babysit. What a wonderful idea, especially for the family where the two working parents and they never have a chance to go to the movies. You could offer, you know, a Saturday night, 5 hours, they get to go out, you hang out with the kids. What a wonderful gift for somebody.
I know, we all know. I mean, right now, it's like the cost of babysitting, it's outrageous to go on a date together. So, yeah. The other thing that you could do for someone is plan a surprise adventure. You know, you could take, if they like to hike, you know, find a someplace they've never been and, you know, explore it together. You could take them to, you know, you could do something like, we have in my book, Simply Celebrate, there are different things like people go out and they hide money for other people to find. And it doesn't have to be. It could be, you know, a few dollar bills.
Right, right.
But I've heard of people who have written to me to say that, you know, I've done that with people, you know, as a special day together.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Your books, Simply Celebrate, has wonderful suggestions about how just to bring more joy and fun into your life. And I love the illustrations. You have, it's illustrated by Gregory Bracken, and it's just wonderful. It's colorful. It's a fun book.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and I think, you know, that's, you know, part of where that came from is also that same place of it doesn't have to cost a lot of money to really celebrate. And there are a lot of things that people can do together. And, you know, I think if people, that's, again, this is one of those places where if you can just find a little bit of time to just sit down and, like, I think sometimes what happens is people think, oh, well, yeah, I'm great with a computer, isn't everybody? But
No, I can tell you right now, no.
if you're great with a computer, you could give someone a gift certificate, you know, to two emergency house calls.
Oh,
you know?
That's the perfect gift for anyone listening right now who wants to give me something. Sherry just hit it on the head. 2 free hours of free computer technology or home calls. Thank you. That's perfect for me.
Honestly, I mean, I think a part of it is that it's like when we're able to do something, we forget. You know, like, for instance, I can't bake at all. So when someone bakes something, you know, that is just a fabulous gift.
I love
you know,
that.
My
yeah.
mother sews, and so sometimes she'll make people embroidered pillowcases or aprons, and it's, I mean, it's just such a wonderful gift.
It really is. And we're going to need to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk more about this idea of making handmade gifts as Christmas and Hanukkah presents. My guest again is Sherry Rickard-Bilou, and we will be back in just a moment. We are back. You are listening to Let's Talk with Dr. Sheila. Our topic today is great gift giving. My guest is Sherry Rickard-Bilou. She's the founder and owner of Mad Moon Creations. Sherry, if people would like to learn more about your products or how to reach you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Great. They can contact my website, which is madmoon, madmoon.com. They can also visit simplycelebrate.net.
Wonderful. And I understand that you have an offer for my listeners today. Is that correct?
I do. I was thinking there's so many more ideas than we have time to talk about today, and I'd love to offer people a written gift-giving guide. If they wanted to email me, I can go ahead and send them a PDF.
Fantastic. What would the email address be if they want to receive that PDF?
They can email me at celebrate@madmoon.com.
Perfect. celebrate@madmoon.com.
Yep.
Great. And that's a gift-giving guide.
Yep.
Wonderful.
That'd be great, so that I can give people, you know, lots of other ideas.
Oh, that's wonderful. I really appreciate your making that offer available to my listeners. That's really generous of you. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And your book, Simply Celebrate, can they get that on your website, or how else can they get that book?
Absolutely, yeah. The best place to get it is by visiting simplycelebrate.net.
Okay, perfect.
And we're actually offering right now, through December 10th, free shipping. So if people hop on right now, they'll get that free shipping offer.
Oh, wonderful. And that certainly helps in the gift-giving season if you can save on shipping.
Oh, I know.
And I
know.
Saved on shipping by giving my gift to Jay in person today. And, Jay, you said you'd like to open it on the air. So do you have a drum roll button there? Or
I couldn't do that. And you know, do all this. So yeah. Should I go card or
gift
first?
Card. Do the card and the gift. Well, it's your choice, but that is a card. It's not just your name on it.
You know, for the listeners, it's looks like about a book. I'm going to guess book size box, box full of love with a big bright yellow card on there, and to analyze Dr. Sheila's handwriting. The open JY _ would say that she has a very open heart.
Oh, thank you.
And, you know. Here we got a little Barney Rubble getting a kiss from Betty. Says a producer like you comes along only once in a million years. Happy first anniversary. And a little note from Dr. Sheila congratulating me for being a great producer like Barney Rubble.
Like Barney Rubble. I know that you're a Flintstones fan.
Exactly.
So,
you know, right there, obviously, there can be nothing wrong in my book with a Flintstones gift for me.
There you go.
I love the Flintstones and have made that known every week, I think.
There's always a Fred story or a Barney story. So,
so that's awesome, and that'll stay here in the studio forever.
All right, maybe till next year.
No, that one deserves to be framed.
Oh,
Everyone else should know that, you know.
That your
Barney in the studio can be appreciated.
There
now,
you go.
Let's try to get the sound of the rip on the air.
Can you do that? I heard it. I don't know. Sherry, did you hear it?
I did.
All right. What could it be? The drama, the suspense.
And staying in a theme that can't lose, more Flintstones. However, the theme to this one incorporates even the James Bond element.
That's right.
A Man Called Flintstone, which I actually have done a show and I actually have a comparison. Are you a James Bond or a Fred Flintstone?
There you go. All right.
What kind of man can you be?
So that's a full-length Fred Flintstone movie.
And there's elements of crime and drama and looks like a... Might have some Middle East.
It's full of intrigue. It'll keep you up all night, Jay.
The Shriner hat. All right. This is going to be fun. So I'm saying that's probably a 10 on a 10 scale. So,
well, thank you. I know that you're a big Flintstones fan, and I thought when I was trying to figure out what to give you as a little token to say thank you, I went Flintstones all the way.
So I'm very grateful. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Sherry, how did I do?
Oh, that was fabulous. I love that. You could tell that you thought about him and you thought about what he likes. And I loved that James Bond connection even.
Oh, yeah. It's Bond, James Bond. It's J. Cruz.
But I think Sherry mentioned that a little earlier. That's, you know, the nice thing about when, you know, folks pay attention to friends and stuff earlier and they go, oh, yeah, I know, you know, this about this. Or you see something like that and you go, who in the world would watch this? Jay would like a movie where Fred was a crime fighter.
I got to tell you, there's not a lot of Fred Flintstone stuff out there. I did have to search a little bit, but I was on a mission, and I'm really glad I found something. And I thought you might not have this versus the episodes. So.
I don't. It looks like there's like hot dames involved, too.
Okay, you got it's all for you, Jay. Thank you. So here's to another great year, and we'll see what I can come up with for you next year. Thank you very much.
I'll try to expand my horizons and give you a bigger challenge.
Okay, thank you. And speaking of challenges, we ended the first segment by talking about making gifts for people. Sherry, you were mentioning that your mother is a wonderful sewer and that you, like me, are not very good bakers. So if anybody wants to bake something for us, we appreciate it. What other suggestions might you have for homemade gifts? Because I think they're a wonderful idea, especially now when people are really hurting and want to give but feel like they can't.
Absolutely. You know, a couple of other things along those same lines are, you know, if you do ceramics or pottery, if you are an artist and you could sketch out a fun little cartoon or a doodle, that's actually how my friend Greg Bracken, who did the illustrations, he's the master of that. He's just a wonderful little doodle with a fun little caption, and it's the best gift ever. The other thing that people can do is most people love photos. And even if you just print out, which people so seldom do anymore, a dozen photos and write little captions under them and paste them in a book, that's a fabulous gift for people.
That is actually a really nice gift, like a little photo album that's just dedicated to something or some memory.
Yeah, especially I think these days when everything is online, by, you know, printing them out, maybe handwriting the captions. People, you know, it gives it that very personal touch.
Yeah, you know, I really do miss photos that you can hold. Everybody just emails photos back and forth, and you glance at them for a second when you open your email, and they're gone. And I actually like, I guess I'm old-fashioned, but I like holding the photo and putting them in my scrapbooks or posting them on my refrigerator or inside a frame or something.
I do, too. I'm right there with you. You know, I think I'm one of those people, I'm going to hold on to the idea of paper as long as I live. And I think that's why I still print out the, you know, the Mad Men books are still on paper, and I love that.
Yeah.
The tactile. I think some of the other things that people could do, and they're akin to some of the things we've talked about, but, you know, everyone, those books of little handmade redeemable coupons for whatever, you know, whether it's a home-cooked meal, back rubs, you know, cleaning the house. You know, it could be funny, too, if, you know, you love your husband in a favorite tie and he hates wearing it, you know. He could give you, you know, I'll wear that tie 3 times, you know,
right.
Coupon.
Yeah. I like that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, you know, whatever. It could be things like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you're saying that about the coupons, I'm also thinking that in the workplace now, people are rather than giving gifts to everybody, they're doing a lot of the secret Santas or the gift bags, where the grab bags where everybody brings one gift. Is coupons a good idea for an office secret Santa gift bag, or do you have other suggestions for how people could play in their office the secret Santa game?
I think for the secret Santa game, I always advise people to, you know, usually we say, you know, you really think about someone and what they love, but you can't do that when it's a secret Santa. You don't know who it's going to be.
Right.
And so I always advise people to stay away from, you want to stay away from anything that's too personal, you know, that Pittsburgh Steelers mug or some pink necklace, heart or whatever. And even, you know, stay away from the temptation of giving festive foods or chocolate, because a lot of people are on such special diets.
That's true. That's actually a very good point.
So I think one of the things that everybody, or at least most people, enjoy are, you know, you could get a $10 or $15 gift card for iTunes, for AMC, for a local bookstore near the office. If there's something, you know, if there's something that it's like most people, those are things that most people would enjoy.
I love the gift cards. I don't know, you're up in the San Francisco area, right?
I am.
Yeah, so I'm sure you probably have the same thing we do, but when I walk into the major supermarkets here, there are now walls of gift cards.
Yes.
And I love that. I stand there and I pick, oh, this person would like Best Buys, and this person would like, you know, Bed and Bath, and this person would like Barnes & Noble, and I do all my Christmas and Hanukkah shopping while I'm getting my fruits and vegetables.
It's so simple, and it's the sort of thing that if you're getting a secret, I mean, I don't know about most people, but it's like those secret Santa gifts I usually dread because it's some movie that I have no interest in. Or
right, they end up in the white elephant gift chair, right?
Like, what are those? I mean, almost everybody can enjoy those.
I think so. We're going to need to take a quick break. When we come back, more with my guest, Sherry Ricard-Ballou, founder and owner of Mad Boon Creations. And we are back. You are listening to Let's Talk with Dr. Sheila. My guest is Sherry Ricard-Ballou. She's the founder and owner of Mad Moon Creations. Once again, Sherry, what is your website and the free offer you have for our listeners today?
Yes, people can find me either at madmoon.com or simplycelebrate.net. And I'd love to offer people a free gift-giving guide, since we can't really cover all the possible ideas here in the short time. They can email me at celebrate@madmoon.com, and I'll go ahead and just send them off a PDF with some dozens of ideas.
Wonderful. Thank you. It's a very generous offer, and I really do appreciate it on behalf of my listeners. One thing also is, as time is running out towards Hanukkah, Hanukkah starts, I think, in a week, and then Christmas, of course, is on the 24th and 25th. Where can we find last-minute gifts for those procrastinators among us who all of a sudden wake up one day and realize that it's December? I've been known to do that. But what do you suggest? Is the Internet the place to go, or how can we get last-minute gift ideas?
I think the Internet is definitely one of the best places to go. And one of the fun things that you could do is, if you order something online and there's not quite enough time, maybe you're meeting someone for dinner in 2 hours, you could order something online that you know they'd love, print out a photo of it, you know, and write a little note. Hope you love using this, blah, blah, blah. You know.
Oh, that's a great idea. So the gift might come later, but you can give them something representing it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jay, have you done that before?
I've done the magazine subscription.
Oh, that's a good gift.
You go to the drugstore, you're like Hot Rodder or whatever, you know, and you get, hey, I got you a subscription to Crossword Puzzles Monthly. Or whatever they're into.
Right. I love it. But actually, magazine subscriptions is a great gift. I've given it over the years.
It is a great, that is a great gift. Yeah, and in fact, Sheila, you hit on one too, which is your local grocery store with all those gift cards. You could pop it in 5 minutes. And as long as you've got a card ready, you just slip the gift card in.
That's it. You're right. And, well, actually, most of these stores now, right next to the gift cards, is now a Hallmark section also. you get everything, one-stop shopping.
The other thing, of course, is back to the handmade, homemade gift certificate, you know. You could do something like that.
That's quick at the last minute.
Really
that's
quick
right.
At the last minute.
That's right. That's right. And now I'm going to ask the politically incorrect question, but I have to. You're our expert. What are your thoughts about regifting? You get that, you know, that purple vase that just doesn't go with anything that you care about. Is it okay to wrap it up and give it again? What are your thoughts?
Wow, that's the question of the year, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah.
I guess here's my thought about that. If it's First of all, I think it's, as we all know, entirely important to not hurt the feelings of the person who gave it to you.
Right.
So I think that's one of the very first things. So you don't want to give it to someone who's in the same town.
Right.
Or who's ever going to cross paths. And I think the other thing is, again, back to the really wanting to give a gift that is meaningful and that connects you to the person that is receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to give that purple vase because you've got it sitting in your closet. And you're like, oh, I need a gift for Susie. Yo, here's a purple vase.
Right, right.
You know, that's entirely...
Because if you do that, then that purple vase is going to keep moving around the globe.
Which you may have done already, for all we know.
And right? It might come right back to you. You never know.
But, you know, there might be... What if there's the rare case of, you know, you just know that that's the perfect gift for Susie, and that feels like it has the heart behind it, you know? I think then that's a different thing. But I think you really want to make sure. The reason that we're giving gifts to one another is to connect to them, to express our love for them.
Right.
And it's not just, oh, I need a gift, where's a gift?
Right, right. And I actually don't mind the idea of regifting. I don't mind if someone got a purple vase and didn't want it and gave it to me. But please, take the card out that came with it. That has happened to me, where I received a gift, and when I opened it, there was a little tiny handwritten gift card, you know, to Susie, love Joe. And then it ended up in my gift pile. So I don't mind the regifting. Just be careful that there's no evidence.
That is such a great point.
Because sometimes, you know, when you write the little cards in the department stores, they put it in the gift box before they wrap it. I don't think this person realized it. So it was funny. I did not have any hard feelings about it. But be careful, please. Are you a regifter, Jay? Are we allowed to ask you that?
Typically, no, although there was this one time. I was sort of dating this girl, and her sister gave her boyfriend the shirt, and he just said, I'm not wearing that thing, and then handed it to me, and I was kind of besmirched, like, well, why would I wear that thing? Ended up coming home with me, and then I had a secret Santa for a guy at the store that I was working at the time, a little part-time job, and he was in a band, and I barely knew the guy. He's
right.
The one guy out of six. He'd been there a month, and I didn't know the guy, and I'm like, he's in a rock band. He plays bass. This black shirt with flames says all about Jared right over it, man. So he got it, and he was actually, wow, that's a nice, you know, he liked it.
He liked it.
He's like, I go, hey, man, this will be good for your stage.
There
and I'm
go.
Like,
good.
All karma's out of my closet.
I love it. So that was actually regifting where it was appropriate for the new recipient. So, well, thank you for sharing that, Sherry, because everybody sort of looks the other way. I am of the belief that we all regift. And I actually don't think there's anything wrong with it if we do it mindfully and with the right intention and purpose and not harming the person that gave it to us in the first place. You know, just do it on the sly.
I totally agree. And I think the other thing that people can do with regifting is, you know, I just wanted to say I loved that you gave Jay a gift on your 1 year show anniversary.
Oh, thank you.
A lot of people might not think to celebrate that. And so regifting could also be a great thing to do on just a funny, goofy, you know, It's Groundhog's Day, and I wanted to give you this gift or whatever.
Right. I like Groundhog's Day. That'd be a fun day to celebrate. I love
right.
that. Yeah, I love that.
It'd be a good time to also use some of those gifts you want to re-gift.
Absolutely. One of the things that you said to me earlier was that, if you know, when I send my email around to my family saying, here's help for you in shopping for me, and they don't give me the gift that I requested, you suggested that I give it to myself, and I love that suggestion. What about that? What about during this holiday season giving a gift to ourselves? What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yes, 100 times over. I mean, I think that one of the ways that our most generous selves come out is that when we feel cared for and we feel taken care of, then I think we're able to just totally open up to thinking about other people. And so I think it's really important, especially gifts to ourselves in the sense of things that help reduce stress, things that help us relax, things that help us feel nurtured and cared for, I really recommend for people this time of year, you know, take yourself to get that massage that you've been wanting. You know, take yourself to get a pedicure, whatever it is.
It's easy to forget about ourselves when we're taking care of others during the holiday season, but I don't know if you're familiar with my book, Selffulness, The Art of Loving and Caring for Yourself, but the principle of that book is that we must take care of ourselves first if we are to be of any service to the people around us. And so that idea applies now, too. If you give yourself the massage and you feel relaxed and comfortable, you're better company on Christmas dinner than if you were all tense and nervous and anxious.
Oh, yeah, I so agree with you. I just think that's such an important point, especially this time of year.
I think so, too.
We do want to be. I mean, I think what you just said is exactly true. We want to be present.
Absolutely. And we want to enjoy. We want to enjoy our company. We want to enjoy our holidays. Well, that's all the time we have for this show. I want to thank my guest, Sherry Rickard-Ballou. She's the owner of Mad Moon Creations and the author of Simply Celebrate, 101 Ways to Turn Ordinary Days into an Extraordinary Life. Sherry, thank you again. I really enjoyed having you on the show.
Oh, I had a great time. Thanks so much.
It's my pleasure. And again, for our listeners, the website is madmoon.com. And if you write to Sherry through her website, she'll give you a PDF on how to give great gifts. So thank you so much for that gift to my listeners. I appreciate it. We'll